O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Let's stand together and sing Praise to the Lord, hymn number 1, just the first stanza.
Father in heaven, we're grateful that we can come and worship before you. You're the God who loves us, who sent his Son to die for us, and we praise your name. Be with us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. After the earth, with its teeming animal and vegetable life, had been called into existence, man, the crowning work of the Creator, was brought upon the stage of action.
Let us make man, or humankind, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being.
Let us sing together The Mighty Power of God, hymn number 88. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Broad and fill the lofty skies. I see
no longer free to stir up rebellion in heaven. Satan's enmity against God found a new field in plotting the ruin of the human race. In the happiness and peace of the holy pair in Eden, he beheld a vision of the bliss that to him was forever lost. Moved by envy, he determined to incite them to disobedience and bring upon them the guilt and penalty of sin. Thus, he would not only plunge these innocent beings into the same misery which he himself was enduring, but would cast dishonor upon God and cause grief in heaven. When the opportunity came, Satan, the master deceiver, enticed Eve. He argued that God was denying them the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil because they would become like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed together fig leaves and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God.
It was not the will of God that the sinless pair should know aught of evil. He had freely given them the good and had withheld the evil. But contrary to his command, they had eaten of the forbidden tree, and now they would continue to eat of it. They would have the knowledge of evil all the days of their life.
The serpent would be feared and hated.
It would no longer fly, but crawl on its belly and eat dust.
Women would know the pain of childbirth.
Men would toil with the sweat of his brow. The earth would bring forth thorns and thistles. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates the lover of violence. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?
How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? The fall of man filled heaven with sorrow. The world that God had made was blighted with the curse of sin and inhabited by beings doomed to misery and death. There appeared no escape for those who had transgressed the law. Angels ceased their songs of praise. Throughout the heavenly courts, there was mourning for the ruin that sin had wrought.
Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?
How long will you hide your face from me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God.
Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death.
And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Let us sing a hymn of assurance. This is my Father's world, hymn number 92. And following the singing of the hymn, we will kneel for the congregational prayer. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest as possible, let us kneel as we pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the assurance that this is our Father's world. Father, we thank you too for the claim that you have of love on our lives, that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price, that we are your purchased possession and precious in your sight. Father, we rest this Sabbath morning in the thought of Christ's death and burial, his resurrection, ascension, and high priestly ministry on our behalf, each one of us individually, and as your family here on this earth. Thank you that because Jesus was victorious and that he rested and that he declared of his work that it was finished, that we too may rest from our labors to save ourselves. So cleanse us from our self-righteousness, cleanse us from our sin. We pray that you would forgive us and renew us in our right minds, giving us, according to your covenant promise, new hearts. Father, be with those of our membership, those whom we love, who may be sick this morning or suffering, bearing pain, tempted, discouraged. Please, may they feel your loving arms about them and know that you understand. We pray that you would bless our nation and that the angels would hold back the four winds of strife, that the work on this earth might be finished and Jesus may come. Father, we see frequent and intensifying evidences all around us that day is hastening. And we pray that through the daily issues of life and through remembrances like these today, we might be made ready for that day to see You and behold You face to face. To this end, and that we might serve You fully, we commit ourselves and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Son of God was touched with pity for the fallen race. His heart was moved with infinite compassion as the woes of the lost world rose up before Him. But divine love had conceived a plan whereby man might be redeemed. Christ would take upon Himself the guilt and shame of sin. Sin so offensive to a holy God that it must separate the Father and the Son. The plan of salvation had been laid before the creation of the earth, for Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation.
And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
The perfect Lamb of God was born of an unwed village girl, the son of a carpenter. An itinerant preacher, a friend of the common folk, those in power hated him. He was arrested, tried, condemned, flogged, crowned with thorns, and crucified.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities.
Upon him was the punishment that made us whole,
and by his bruises we are healed.
Let us sing hymn number 154, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross Upon Which the Prince of Glory Died. Hymn number 156.
Prince of Glory Died.
God and his holy angels were beside the cross. The Father was with his Son, yet his presence was not revealed. In the thick darkness, God veiled the last human agony of his Son. Through long hours of agony, Christ had been gazed upon by the jeering multitudes. Now, he was mercifully hidden by the mantle of God. Suddenly, the gloom lifted from the cross, and in clear, trumpet-like tones, Jesus cried,
"It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit."
A light encircled the cross, and the face of the Savior shone with a glory like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died. It was the hour of the evening sacrifice. The sacrificial lamb is about to be slain. The earth trembles and quakes, and a rending noise, the inner veil of the temple is torn from top to bottom by an unseen hand. The most holy place is now open for all to see. All is terror and confusion. The priest is about to slay the victim, but the knife drops, and the lamb escapes. The great sacrifice has been made.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased.
The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart.
With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before God on high?
Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old?
Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
He has told you, O mortal, what is good.
And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God?
Let us sing, "Live Out Thy Life Within Me," hymn number 316. And during the singing of this hymn, the deacons will wait upon us for our tithes and our offerings.
Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of kings. Be thou my strength. Live out thy life within me, in all things have thy way. Temple has been yielded and purified of sin. Let thy Shekinah glory now shine forth from within, and all the earth keep silent, the body henceforth be. By the transparent medium, hears my name. Its members every moment held subject to thy call, ready to love the new.
to the angels and unfallen worlds, the cry, "It is finished," had deep significance. It was for them as well as for us that the great work of redemption had been accomplished. Not until the death of Christ was the character of Satan clearly revealed to the angels of the unfallen worlds. They had not clearly seen the nature of the rebellion. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. At last, Jesus was at rest. The long day of shame and torture was ended. As the last rays of the setting sun ushered in the Sabbath, the Son of God lay in quietude in Joseph's tomb. His work completed. There was joy in heaven. However, this joy was not shared by those closest to the Savior on this earth. With the death of Christ, the hopes of his disciples perished. Overwhelmed with sorrow, they did not recall his words foretelling this very scene. Nothing that he had said now gave them comfort. Their faith in Jesus had perished. But never had they loved their Lord as now. Never before had they so felt his worth and their need of his presence.
I am utterly spent and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me.
Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest.
The night of the first day of the week had worn slowly away. The darkest hour, just before daybreak, had come. Christ was still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. The great stone was in its place. The Roman seal was unbroken. The Roman guards were keeping their watch. And there were unseen watchers. Hosts of evil angels were gathered about the place. But a heavenly host also surrounded the sepulcher. Angels that excel in strength were guarding the tomb and waiting to welcome the Prince of Life. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For the fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women,
"Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised, as he said."
As Christ arose, he brought from the grave a multitude of captives. The earthquake at his death had rent open their graves, and when he arose, they came forth with him. They were those who had been co-laborers with God, and who at the cost of their lives had been borne testimony to the truth. Now they were to be witnesses for him who had raised them from the dead.
Let us sing our testimony of faith. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hymn number 166, and we'll stand as we sing.
The Lord is risen.
seated, please.
The time had come for Christ to ascend to his Father's throne. As a divine conqueror, he was about to return with the trophies of victory to the heavenly courts. Upon reaching the Mount of Olives, Jesus led the way across the summit to the vicinity of Bethany. Here he paused, and the disciples gathered about him. Jesus did not chastise the disciples for their faults and failures. Words of the deepest tenderness were the last that fell upon their ears from the lips of their Lord. With hands outstretched in blessing, he slowly ascended from among them. A cloud of glory hid him from their sight, and the words came back to them as the cloudy chariot of angels received him.
Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
At the same time, there floated down to them the sweetest and most joyous music from the angel choir.
All heaven was waiting to welcome the Savior to the celestial courts. As he ascended, he led the way, and the multitude of captives set free at his resurrection followed. The heavenly host, with shouts and acclamations of praise and celestial song, attended the joyous strain. As they drew near to the city of God, the challenge is given by the escorting angels.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Who is the King of glory?
The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
To hear it, name that.
Then the portals of the city of God are opened wide, and the angelic throng sweeps through the gates amid a burst of rapturous music. The voice of God is heard proclaiming that justice is satisfied. Satan is vanquished. Victory over evil is assured. The Holy Spirit, sent to the faithful in the upper room as flames of fire, the Father, whose heart holds the pain of the suffering universe, and the Son, who became a babe that we might grow in him, three in one, have triumphed over the forces of evil. The outcome of good against evil is no longer in doubt. Love has conquered.
Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered thousands of thousands, singing with full voice,
"Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing."
Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing,
"To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever."
Let us stand as we close our service with the hymn, "Worthy, Worthy is the Lamb," number 246. And all the people said,
"Amen." Amen.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.